710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what is going on? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. This, of course, is the home of the Lakers. The Lakers going to the NBA Finals as LeBron absolutely dominates Saturday night in Orlando to close out their series with the Denver Nuggets. And, of course, we got Dodgers playoffs starting tomorrow night. I'm sorry, Wednesday night. It's going to be Walker Buehler in game number one. Milwaukee hasn't named a starter yet, but I'm guessing it's going to be Adrian Hauser. We'll see.
And that's a good back. That's a good draw for the Lakers or for the Dodgers.
Yeah, it is.
They actually, you know, we were worried that they might run into Cincinnati. Cincinnati ended up getting the 7 seed. Milwaukee's actually an under 500 team this year. I think the Dodgers got a little lucky with their draw.
Yeah, they did. Although my good friend Bill Plunkett pointed something out to me. He said the thing to watch with Milwaukee is the Devin Williams, Josh Hader bullpen. They are really, really good. I mean, we all know Hader, but Devin Williams has been every bit as good. You can make an argument better. So you got to watch out for Brandon Woodruff, who threw a two-hitter on Saturday night for Milwaukee. And you've got to watch out for that two-pronged bullpen, Devin Williams and Josh Hader. Those are the two. And offensively, John, they've got one significant bat in Christian Yelich, but he didn't have a very good year. Everybody else, you know, that team is like 27th in the league in OPS.
Yeah, they're not the team that went 7 games with the Dodgers 2-3 years ago. It's
no.
A different group now.
Yep, absolutely. So I feel good about the matchup. That's as good a draw as you could expect from the matchup. And I feel... And they're definitely going to get the Padres-Reds winner, it looks like, in the second round.
Yeah, and the Padres, do we know yet what their pitching situation is? We originally thought, who did we think was going to be out for the postseason for the Padres?
Who do we think was going to be out?
Yeah, who did they trade for in the middle of the season?
Oh, Clevinger's gone.
Yeah, you know, for sure?
Yeah, he's gone. He's done for the year.
Well, that because I heard that now they say it's a strain,
and they're, did they?
Yeah, and that they're possibly thinking they could get him back later in the playoffs.
Wow!
So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I mean, I see this story: Padres lose ace Dennelson Lamet to bicep tightness days after losing Mike Clevinger to similar injury.
Yeah. So, but
so they're not super healthy. That means we'll see Chris Paddock for sure.
Right, who's good. But he's
who's
young.
Good. Yeah, who's really good. So everything in the world is happening right now. And, you know, we've pointed this out for the last few weeks. During the pandemic, thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with us. There was really nothing going on, although the slogan for the show is where it's all happening. Now it is all happening on the show where it's all happening. So you got to be here every day from 1 until 4. Because this is the home of the Lakers, and we are on our way to the NBA title, and it's going to be a cakewalk.
It is not going to be.
I think this is going to be. I think this is going to be. Am I the only one that thinks this will be an entertaining but short series?
Yes, you are.
Michael Thompson came on.
But I guarantee you Alex Caruso is not looking at it that way.
Okay.
And Alex is nice enough to join us now. Hey, man, first of all, I just said, I think of all the guys on the team, I feel the best for you about this. I know how hard you worked, and 3 or 4 years ago, you didn't even know if you'd be in the NBA, and now you're a contributor on the Lakers, a rotation player playing in the NBA Finals. Has it hit you yet how far you've come in the last 3-4 years?
Hey, man, I appreciate you having me on today. You know, it's been a crazy journey. You know, like you said, going from unknowns to playing rotation minutes and then closing out playoff games. Now moving on to the NBA Finals, it's gratifying. You know, just to know that all the work paid off, and so quickly. You know, some people spend many years more than I did grinding out to try and make a team or to try and solidify their role in the league, and for me to be able to have some success this early in my journey. You know, it's it feels good. It feels good, but you know, for me, and this has kind of been my mantra from day one, is I'm not really satisfied with it. You know, I kind of want more. I want to be better. I want to play better. I want to win more games. That's just kind of the human nature that I've had to take on this journey, and now it's just kind of ingrained into me.
Alex Caruso of the Lakers is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So we watched the fourth quarter of that game on Saturday night, and it was like, LeBron, wow. Wow. I mean, what is it? What does it look like to you when you're up close to it?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's pretty funny that you asked me about that, because I've seen him do that so many times, but it's been for me watching on TV. You know, I've seen him do that countless times in playoff games and regular season games. Even sometimes on the bench this year when he's closing out games, but not quite like he did in that game to where it was whatever it was, four straight, five straight buckets. I just had this feeling that I knew we were going to win, you know. It was just kind of a confidence I had. I knew we were going to get enough stops, and then I knew Bron was going to come down and either make something happen or score the ball. And to be able to be on the floor, and you can just feel that energy. I kind of knew it was going to happen.
Alex Caruso is our guest. Alex, you know this because I've heard you talk about it before, but you and LeBron have the best plus-minus on the team, really the best plus-minus in the league between teammates. Why do you think your style and his mesh so well? I mean, LeBron makes everybody better, but for whatever reason, you and him, statistically, in a league that now values analytics, seem to mesh better than other teammates he's had. Why do you think that's worked as well as it has?
You know, I think we're just, I mean, obviously everybody knows he's a really cerebral player, right? He is, everybody knows Bron's physically gifted, however many points he scored, rebounds, assists, but he has an edge on everybody with the mental side of the game. He sees stuff before it happens. He knows where people are going to be. He knows sets. He knows how to take advantage of defenses. And I think I have a little bit of that as well. You know, I might not be on the level of LeBron or maybe a Rondo, but I'm ahead of a lot of people in the game of basketball when it comes to thinking the game and anticipating plays and knowing what's coming. So I think me and him just, you know, we see plays that are going to happen, and we kind of know what other players are going to do, whether it's our teammates or the other team, and I think we just capitalize on that. And you know, a lot of it is just me and him just being on the same page, I think.
Alex Caruso is with us from the Lakers, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So, Alex, as you look at this next matchup for you guys, Miami, did you get a chance to look at any of these Miami games, and do you have a feel for what they're like?
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching just about every playoff game after the first round. You know, once the second round started, I don't have much to do here in the bubble, so I've been tuned in to watching basketball games. And yeah, Miami's playing great. You know, I think they have the same playoff record that we have right now going into the finals, which is really impressive when you look at the teams that they've beaten along the way, just how good those teams were in the regular season. And then, I mean, those three teams they beat, I think were at least two of them were close to being title favorites, you know, guys mm-hmm. that people thought were going to be in the NBA finals. So they're young, they play hard, they play scrappy. And I think that's a great matchup for us, just because I think we got a lot of that too. So it's going to be a dogfight, and I think the team who executes best and is most resilient is going to come out on top.
Alex Caruso with us. Alex, I saw a video, and I think I have this right. Were you able to get your parents into the bubble to watch some games in person?
Yeah, my parents got to come.
So that must be fascinating for them. Are they still down there? Did they get a chance for them, the cameras found them, so they were jumping up and down. But what's it like for you to share this experience with them?
Yeah, you know, really, really grateful the league allowed us to bring in a couple of guests each. We still have our team has a good number of wives, families, parents, even a couple kids that are in the bubble and kind of keeping us sane, you know, getting us away from the game and keeping us mentally fresh. But for as far as me to be able to share this with them, you know, it's special just because, I don't think they expected this, just like I never maybe expected it, but a lot of hard work, like we said, got me to this point, and to be able to share it with people you love and people that you know have your best interest and love you no matter what, it's really special.
Alex Caruso is with us from the Los Angeles Lakers, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I was saying earlier, I think one of the things that you guys have, and it comes through just watching games, is there is an enthusiasm, a camaraderie, a chemistry that you guys have that I don't necessarily see every team have. Talk about that.
Yeah, man, it just started with our veterans, you know, the guys that have been around the block that were the voices on the team early in the year, and the guys that had been deep in the playoffs, and they understood what it took to be a great team. And you needed the camaraderie, you needed the chemistry, you needed the nights out at dinner and just kind of hanging out and playing cards on the plane and joking around with each other. You know, little things like that make it easier to play basketball together. And like you said, my personal opinion, I think we have the best team chemistry in the league. But I know that the Heat have a great chemistry within their organization and within their team too. So I think we're going to have our hands full with them, but to be able to have that in our back pocket, knowing that everybody's on the same page and everybody's pulling for each other, it means a lot.
Alex Caruso is our guest. Alex, you may be one of several Lakers asked to guard the shooters that the Heat have, and they have a couple of guys in Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero that can literally, I mean, you give them 2 seconds and they can make shots from inside 30 feet. You've guarded guys, you were in the same division as Stephen Clay, so you know what this is like. But when you're defending a shooter like that, somebody with 30 foot and in range and a quick trigger, do you do things differently, or do you make an adjustment defensively, or is it just another guy to you?
I mean, you obviously have to guard those guys with multiple bodies. You know, it might not be a Dame or a Harden or a Jamal Murray kind of scoring where they need the ball in their hands. But I think there's a stat that I saw that Duncan Robinson's taken the most handoff threes or assisted threes or something like that, to where he doesn't have the ball and then he runs up and catches it. So I mean, you can't play one guy who shoots it as well as he does, or Hero, or even the other guys with one person. You know, it's going to be a collective effort to try and stifle them and keep them off balance, and then help those guys who are helping the other ones. So, like I said, we're going to have our hands full with them. They're a good team, and they didn't make it to the NBA Finals without playing well. And those couple of shooters they have are a big reason why.
All right, Alex, before I let you go, do you know who Matthew Berry is, the ESPN fantasy guy? Do you play fantasy football?
I do. I do know who Matthew Berry is.
Okay, so he's on with us every week, and we're old friends with him. He's been coming on our show for like 20 years. We need you to win the title for no other reason than, do you know he went to your high school?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he went to A&M Consolidated years before you. You're much younger.
Probably a few.
Yeah, so he's going to claim that he's a big Laker fan. So now he's adopted you as like one of his favorite Lakers.
He's going to claim
he's the most famous graduate of A&M Consolidated unless you win the title.
Well, he's got his own TV show, so you know he might be able to say that right now.
Right. Just for now.
Just for now.
But when you win it, and he would gladly hand over that title because, as I mentioned, he's a Laker fan. So there's yet another reason why it's important for you to get it done in the bubble, okay?
Yeah, we're going to need to set something up. If I win the title, you can help me with my fantasy team.
I guarantee you I can help you with that. Hey, by the way, A&M Alabama on Saturday. Are you going to it's not a game day. Are you going to get a chance to check that out, or you put it on the back burner until after the finals?
No, yeah, I'll definitely tune in. Hopefully we our Aggies, you know, light a fire under them after that week one performance. Got the dub versus Vandy, but it wasn't aesthetically pleasing. So hopefully we, it's a little tune-up. We'll come out ready on Saturday.
All right. Well, we're hoping for something more aesthetically pleasing on Saturday for you, Alex.
Appreciate that, guys.
Thank you, man. Alex. Good luck, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yep. Great talking, guys. Thank you.
There's Alex Caruso.
What a nice guy, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and he's earned everything he's got. Mace, this is a guy that went undrafted in 2016. The Sixers let him on their summer league team. After that, the Sixers didn't want him. He signed with Oklahoma City's G League team. And then the Lakers took him from there, and he's worked his way up into this position. So it's a great success story.
Yeah, and if you're a kid and you've been told, you can't play at the next level.
Right,
your game doesn't translate to the next level. Whether that's high school to college, college to professional, don't listen to it, man. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep on pressing. That's what Alex Caruso has done.
There you go.
I'm sure Alex Caruso was told over and over again, not good enough, not tall enough, not going to work at the next level. Just worked his ass off and got there. And that's the message to every kid who believes in themselves. Don't listen to people tell you you can't, because you absolutely can, and Alex Caruso is proof of that.
Amen. All right, so are we doing the scoop now?
Yeah, we're doing the scoop coming up next.
Okay, good.
All the stuff in sports that we haven't talked about yet, that's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What a great day in Los Angeles. Lakers in the NBA Finals. Dodgers about to kick off in the playoffs. Unbelievable time. All right, so John, first up, Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Montana and his wife confronted a home intruder who attempted to kidnap their 9-month-old grandchild over the weekend, according to law enforcement officials. According to the L.A. Sheriff's Department, Montana told deputies that his grandchild was sleeping in a playpen on Saturday when an unknown woman entered their home in Malibu and grabbed the child. Montana and his wife Jennifer confronted the woman, whom authorities later identified as Sadse Dalzell. After a tussle, Jennifer Montana pried the child out of Dalzell's arms. Now, John, a crazy story, right? I can't even imagine you paint that picture. But right. My question is this. Have you ever been a victim of any crime?
Crime. I've had stuff broken into. I had my car broken into and stuff stolen. But you're talking about a physical thing. All right.
Physical crime.
All right. So this is it. One time I was closed. I used to work in this store. Down on the Balboa Peninsula, when that was my summer job when I was in high school and college.
Yep.
And at night, when you closed up, you would have to do what we called the drop. You would take the money that you made for that day. I'd put it in a backpack, and then there was a bank maybe 2 blocks away, and you'd put the money in the bank. And apparently, somebody figured out how we did that. Like, they knew what time we were closing.
They knew
whoever left with a backpack.
It was an inside job.
And our boss said, look, if you ever get, we have insurance, so if anyone ever tries to assault you or says, give me the money, don't hesitate, just give them the money. And so one day I'm closing up and I'm leaving, and just out of pure luck, that night, two of my friends were down there with me because we were going out after. And I said, hey, guys, I got to go do the drop, and then I'll meet you at this place we were going to around the corner. And I walked out. I got jumped. A guy punched me in the face.
Oh.
He took the backpack, and my friends out of nowhere came up and beat the crap out of these guys.
Wow.
They got the backpack back. I immediately ran in, did it to the drop, and I got out of it. But if my friends weren't there, I would have been, that's the closest I've ever been to being a victim of a crime. By the way, we called the police and told them what happened, but those guys were gone by the time the police got back.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that reminds me, your story reminds me of when I owned those theaters in Hawthorne.
Right. Did you have somebody that did a drop at night?
Normally it was me. Okay. I would go over and do the drop. And it was not on a weekend night. It was not uncommon for me to walk out of that place with $60,000 stuffed into my pants.
Yeah, I had 15.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
60 is a lot.
But the worst crime I ever was a victim of was when I was in Milan, Italy, and these two gypsy kids came up to me, and they're waving a newspaper, buy a newspaper, sir, buy a newspaper. And I had my passport, my wallet, my cash, everything on the inside pocket of my jacket. And about 20 minutes later, when I went to pay for something, I realized those friggin' gypsy kids took my wallet and passport and cash.
Did they take the jacket?
No, they didn't. They just reached in and they picked my pocket.
Wow.
Yeah. And by the way, by the time I got hold of my cards and all that, every card was maxed. Like, it was part of a...
They knew they were playing beat the clock.
Part of a plan, yeah. So that's the worst. Lindsay, what about you? Ever victim of a crime?
Yeah, a few. I will say that my identity has been stolen like 4 times.
Really?
Well, that's why Mason changes his passwords all the time.
Well, I think it's something where, like, I think nowadays it's been happening to my mom a lot too. And she could not believe how often like her credit card information was stolen. She never uses it at like the gas pump anymore or anything because it happens to her so often. And I said, I think that just happens now. I said, honestly, I get a new debit card like once a year just because I feel like if you use your card on the internet ever anymore, people are just prone to getting it. I don't know how, but they get it. It happens to me a lot, and I've had my entire identity stolen multiple times.
Your entire identity? They mean there was another Lindsay Fulton out there?
Like, I've had somebody, like, open accounts in my name for credit cards and all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. All right, John, it's to you.
Okay. Mace, yesterday with 46 seconds left in overtime of a tie game in Philadelphia, Eagles coach Doug Peterson sent his kicker out for a potential game-winning 59-yard field goal. But the Eagles were called for a false start, so now the field goal would have been from 64 yards.
Yep.
So on 4th and 12, Peterson punted, taking a tie with the Bengals.
Yep.
He got killed for not going for
sure.
it, or at least not trying to either get a first down or try the 64-yard field goal. So this morning, Peterson said that if he had to do it all over again, he wouldn't have punted.
Yes.
He's still getting killed. But here's the argument for taking the tie. The Eagles play in the NFC East, the worst division in all of football. That division has a combined record of 2-9. The division leaders are both 1-2. If the Eagles end up making the playoffs with a record of, let's say, 7-8-1,
right,
and they beat the Cowboys by half a game, do you think Peterson will get credit for doing the right thing, or will a coach always get killed for going for a tie no matter what?
You know what they say, John? Let's go out there, guys. Let's get a tie. No, he will never forget this. He will never forget this. By the way, I give the guy credit for today saying, you know what? Had I had it to do over again, I would have gone for it in some way. I don't know what the right way to go for it was. It was 4th and 12.
12, yeah. On their 49, their own 49.
So if they missed the 59-yard field goal,
would have been 64.
64. If they missed that field goal, would the Bengals already be in field goal position?
Well, they'd be in the exact same position the Eagles were. They'd be one play away from a field goal. They'd be in midfield. The Bengals would have had the ball in midfield with 46 seconds left, like probably 35 seconds left.
I don't know. You can make a case that the tie is the right move there.
I know, but nobody wants to hear it. You watch, like I watched Get Up this morning.
Yeah.
Everybody killed Peterson. Dan Orlovsky, Rex Ryan, Ryan Clark, and the one guy who took the position that you and I are taking was Greenberg.
Yeah.
Saying, wait a minute, look at their division. A tie in that division is valuable. The winner of that division might have 6 wins. He goes, this is the worst division. Okay, so look at that division. Washington 1-2. All right, they're awful. Why? And they're going to lose again. You know, they play the Rams in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Dallas 1-2. Dallas looks terrible.
Yep.
All right, the Eagles are now 0-2-1, and the Giants are 0-3. A tie is valuable there, but nobody wants to hear that.
And I think
Peterson got shamed into saying, "Oh yeah, if I had to do over again, I'd go for it."
Okay,
I actually think he did the right thing.
Big piece of breaking news: Doc Rivers out as LA Clippers head coach.
Yep. No way.
Yep. Adrian Wojnarowski, following a season that fell well short of championship expectations after the team landed All-Stars Kawhi Leonard and Paul George last summer against the Denver Nuggets, Clippers squandered a lead. Rivers' only coach in NBA history to lose a 3-1 series lead in 3 playoff series. The team was considered a championship. Expectations, Rivers says, we didn't meet them. That's the bottom line. I'm the coach. I'll take any blame, but we didn't meet our expectations clearly because if we had, in my opinion, we'd still be playing. Doc Rivers, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that he is out as Clippers head coach.
Wow. I mean, this is absolutely stunning news. And Mace, this becomes a job that any coach would take.
Would love.
And what'll be very interesting to see is if they hold the rest of the staff, because he's got a couple of guys in Ty Lue and Sam Cassell who are being interviewed for other head coaching jobs around the rest of the league. Wow, that is absolutely shocking news.
Okay, let's take a minute. Let's end the scoop and come back and talk about this story. L.A. Clippers head coach Doc Rivers is out, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
Okay, Mace, think about a couple of things here, too.
Yeah.
number one, Doc Rivers got them through the Donald Sterling fiasco.
Yeah, right, right.
And that was just like 3-4 years ago, and now he's out.
Now, what we don't know, if they say he's out, does that mean he could have said, I'm done?
No, they fired
him. They fired him.
They had to. He's not walking away from, I think he makes $10 million a year.
You think they had to fire him?
I don't, but I think they did.
Okay.
You're asking me, did they or did he walk away? This is
correct.
Steve Ballmer taking charge of the franchise.
Yeah. We will keep track of that story and update it throughout the show today. Doc Rivers out as Clippers head coach. We just what we needed, another big story to talk about.
Oh, wow.
We'll get into that coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason Ireland. We appreciate you being out there. We appreciate you listening. It is a monster week in LA sports. The Lakers will tee it off with the Miami Heat Wednesday night in the NBA Finals. The Los Angeles Dodgers will start their wild card playoff series Wednesday against the Milwaukee Brewers at Dodger Stadium. Playoffs continue, NBA Finals continue. We got an unbelievable Monday Night Football matchup tonight. It is just
we haven't even talked about that yet.
It's all gravy, man. It's all great. Sports everywhere. And now we get the news that Doc Rivers is out as head coach of the Clippers. They went from championship contenders, even some said championship favorites, to goodbye Doc. That's a shocker.
And now, what do they bring in? Do they go for somebody like Ty Lue
that
was already on the staff?
Yep.
Or does he get the blame for what went down with this team? I mean, do they bring in a completely new set of eyes that would go for this? And then, Mace, if Doc wants to keep coaching, there's a couple of...
open jobs.
Philadelphia and New Orleans are both open. You know, you would have said... That
is Indiana open or did they fill that? I think Indiana's open too.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, boy.
Houston's open.
What about Doc there?
Yeah.
I mean, and there's talk that Mike D'Antoni is going to Philadelphia and they might trade Joel Embiid for James Harden.
Wow.
I mean, this could be a huge shift in the league.
And by the way, it's all going to happen so fast. It's a crazy thing. Like right after the season, you've got this... this unbelievably quick series of traps that's going to be run from the draft to free agent season to the start of training camp. I mean, when are they saying training camp's going to start now? January?
Yeah, well, games will start in January, so I would think training camp might start in December. But
it's a quick turnaround.
This is stunning news. I thought, because the one thing, there's only six guys in the whole league that have championship rings, and Doc was one of them. You know, coaches that have champions. Eric Spoelstra is one of them who's going for another one. But this is the fact that they would fire Doc. I'm trying to figure out. Normally, you and I always say,
you don't fire somebody unless you know who you're going to hire.
Right. So who is it? You could say Michael Winger, the GM, was in Oklahoma City. You could have said.
Could
this
say
was
Billy
where,
Donovan.
No, but he already went to Chicago. He took the
Chicago
job
last week.
Oh, that's
right. He's gone. He's off the board.
Wow. Who's out there?
Yeah.
Phil Jackson's too old.
But, in fairness.
Jerry West is consulting.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a lot of Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson's not coming back to coach at this point.
Yeah. And Jerry West is a confidant of Ballmer's. I'm trying to figure out who – because you can think big here. Steve Ballmer is the richest owner.
Sure, he can hire anybody he wants.
Okay, here's Doc. He just sent out a statement. Thank you, Clipper Nation, for allowing me to be your coach and all your support in helping me make this a winning franchise. When I took this job, my goals were to make it a winning basketball program, a free agent destination, and bring a championship to this organization. While I was able to accomplish most of my goals, I won't be able to see them all through. This was a disappointing ending to our season. You are right there. And I know this team is capable of accomplishing with your support. Thank you to all the players, coaches, and staff for helping us get here. Most importantly, thank you to the fans. We went through a lot, and I am grateful for my time here. Yeah, he got fired.
Yeah, he got fired. No question. And you know what? In fairness, that was a loaded team, and they failed. I mean, that was a loaded team that never came together.
Okay, but Mace, when I say think big,
yeah,
Steve Ballmer has more money than all of the other NBA owners
combined. Right. Yes, $20 billion.
Right. So when I say, and there is no cap on what you can pay a coach.
Right.
So let me, I'm just
going to. So you can hire any coach, basically.
Anybody. Yeah. I mean, okay, John Calipari.
Sure.
Greg Popovich.
Yeah. Yeah. You could hire him.
Coach K.
Coach K. Yeah.
I mean, let's say you had a blank check. What are you doing? Like, who do you offer this to? This is an extra with Kawhi and Paul George and a new building in 2 years. And oh man,
I would throw the world at Popovich. Throw the world at him. They've got all the pieces to win a championship. It just didn't come together. They need somebody who has that experience, being able to meld a team, being able to get a team all on the same page. I don't think the Clippers were ever on the same page. They were distracted throughout those seeding games. Guys were in and out of the bubble, lemon, pepper, Lou, all that stuff. And I don't think you'd run to the strip club if Greg Popovich was your coach.
I don't. And then you got to wonder, I mean, this is such an extraordinary amount of money that Ballmer has thrown around. You wonder if he'll ask, in the case of Popovich, you'd have to ask the Spurs for permission. You wonder, I'll just throw this out there. Steve Kerr grew up in Los Angeles, went to Palisades High. Mm. Eric Spoelstra may be going after another title here. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see who they get. It is... And I'm with you. I think they know. I think they know who they're getting. I just wonder who it is.
You know who I think it is?
Clipper Darryl?
I think it's Ty Lue.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Clipper Darryl.
No, Clipper Darryl is a candidate. I don't think
Chuck the Duck.
I don't think he'll get an interview. Chuck the Duck is another good idea. But he's got mascot duties, so he can't be the head coach. Sorry, you got your mascot duties. Look, here's the thing. That team was a complete disappointment. So I guess I'm not surprised that he got fired. The more I think about it. By the way, suggestions, Jason Kidd to the Clippers. A lot of Ty Lue to the Clippers.
I just realized something. You can't get Popovich is out.
Because?
Kawhi.
Oh, that's right. You can't bring Popovich. What about Nick Nurse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just wonder if these teams that are under contract will let their coaches even talk to Ballmer.
Yeah, right.
This is when Tiger Woods fired his caddy. All the other players got nervous because they said, oh, God, he can take whoever he wants.
Yeah. It's a fascinating story.
They don't consider D'Antoni, do they?
I don't think so. I don't think there's enough. I mean, this is a team that's built to a great degree around defense. I mean, those two guys are there as two great defenders. And defense is not my
And if you add Patrick Beverly, you could say three.
Three, yeah, and defense is not his calling card.
But it's so interesting that the two biggest stories now are the Lakers are in the finals and the Clippers fired their coach. It's like something's never changed.
Remember, we wanted a hallway series, John.
Well,
we were going to play the Clippers, and it was going to be a hallway series, and it was going to be to the death, and Clippers never got there. Now they fired their head coach. What a turn of events for a team that people thought could win a championship this year.
And you said it's Ty Lue. Why does Ty Lue not get blamed for the 3-1 falling apart? He's well, sitting right next to Doc.
I'd love to be more specific, but I don't know. I just know oftentimes the
Did you get a yes or no question? Did you get a text from somebody?
I believe it's Ty Lue.
Yes or no? Did you get a text from somebody?
Answer's no.
Okay.
Answer. I would tell you if I did.
Yeah.
Answer's no.
You're just guessing it's Ty Lue.
I'm guessing it's Ty Lue. All right, coming up next for you, Radio Tinder, then at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, we will get back to the NFL with Keyshawn Johnson, who's going to join us in just about 20 minutes. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, I feel kind of bad.
Go ahead.
Because Lindsay told me it was her birthday a couple of weeks
ago. No, did she really?
Yeah, and I knew it was coming up, but I did not know it was today. Is today the day, Lindsay?
Sure is.
Happy birthday.
Did you get my flowers?
Zero chance, you guys.
Did you get my flowers, Lynch?
No flowers here. Must have sent them to the wrong place, but that's okay.
I hope they didn't deliver them to the wrong house.
Yeah, we sent them to your L.A. apartment. What are the chances they'll be there when you get back?
Hopefully my cat doesn't eat them.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Radio Tinder time. What do you got?
All right, guys. Residents in Berkeley, California are going to see a big change when they go grocery shopping next year. Beginning in March of 2021, candy, chips, soda, and other junk food items will not be available for purchase at store checkouts. The Berkeley City Council passed an ordinance on September 22nd that will ban these products from aisles right by the store registers. So these are the items that are often referred to, I guess, as like impulse buys, you know,
sure.
like the snacks and treats there.
Sure. Candy bars.
Yeah, they're going to be replaced with healthier options in retail that occupy spaces that are each larger than 2,500 square feet. Will this idea take off in the rest of California and or the rest of the country? Swipe left or swipe right?
I am going to swipe. Huh, that's good. I'm going to swipe right. You know, here's the big problem that we have in this country is the fact that so many people are overweight. I mean, we are one of the fattest countries in the world. And it leads to type 2 diabetes and all of a sudden everybody's on dialysis and it's costing money and we're all paying for. I don't know how you get people healthy. How do you get people healthy? This is one small way. Don't put so many candy bars at the checkout aisle. I think that's an okay restriction to put out there.
Mace, I'm surprised. What happened to the libertarian Steve Mason, the no rules Steve Mason, the no restrictions Steve Mason, the don't tread on me that you normally project on this show? We don't need rules to keep me from buying stuff at the checkout stand. Come on, man.
All it is not putting them at the checkout stand. It's not preventing you from buying. It's just taking away the impulse buy.
I support the free enterprise system, commerce.
You support fatness then.
Heck yeah. I was against this when Bloomberg wanted to make the soda law.
But how do you solve it? Obviously, it needs to be solved in some way. How do you solve it?
How about this? Hey, Mason, stop eating donuts.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you solve it.
Well, by the way, this weekend it was cake. It was not donuts because there was a cakewalk taking place in Orlando. All right,
there was no Lynch. Cake.
All right, next one here. The NBA Finals matchup between the Lakers and Heat could get particularly interesting when it comes to Kyle Kuzma facing off against Heat star Tyler
Oh,
Hero.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's because Hero is currently dating Kuzma's ex-girlfriend, IG star Katya Elise Henry. Katya began dating Hero during the beginning of quarantine and was seen on the sideline cheering on the Heat on Sunday inside the bubble. If you were an NBA player, would playing against your ex's love interest give you additional motivation? Swipe left or swipe right?
No additional motivation. Once you break up and move on, I actually don't have any like ill will or wish poorly upon people that I used to date.
But what if it was someone that you just broke up?
Yeah, you just broke up. So let's say Lisa and you just split up.
Okay. And she starts dating Tyler Hero?
No, she starts dating somebody that you regularly play golf with.
Okay. Don
Cheadle. Would
he's married. Lisa
and Don Cheadle run
golf
away together.
With Don Cheadle?
Yeah, sometimes. I haven't in a while.
Do you still play golf with Don Cheadle, or do you have hard feelings that he stole your wife?
No, Don, what time are we teeing off?
Okay, well, what if it was something that you need to, like, you know, I guess somebody, extra motivation would be good.
My buddy Tom, who was in the music business, just told me a story that I have not verified this, but he just told me the story over the weekend that the two main guys in U2, Edge and Bono, Edge was dating this girl, and he broke up with her. And Bono said, "Hey, do you mind if I ask her out? I kind of liked her." And Edge goes, "No, I don't care." And now it's Bono's wife. They've been together for like 30 years.
Huh.
So, I don't have any ill will toward. I don't think that's going to bother anybody. I don't think it's going to bother Kuzma.
By the way, here's a little nugget. This is from Robert Littell from Black Sports Online. Tyler Hero's girlfriend, Katya Elise Henry, speaks on him playing with her ex-boyfriend Kyle Kuzma in finals while she is at the bubble. She is at the bubble. Henry and Kuz.
Well, that's what Lindsay said.
Broke up because he wouldn't allow her to show his face on IG and made her buy her own tickets to the games.
Wait a minute.
Baby, see you at the box office.
Wait a minute. But have you ever been more proud of one of your guys?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. That's awesome.
Sorry, baby. Find your own way in.
Hey, look. I'm focused on winning the title. I can't be bothered with stuff like ticket requests.
Not getting your tickets for you.
I've never been prouder of Kuz.
I'm really busy. Yeah, no, it's a little weird subcurrent that'll be fun to kind of watch because Kuzma is going to wind up on Hero a lot.
Yeah.
And sort clearly she found a much better boyfriend that isn't a jerk when it comes to, you know,
treating his
girlfriend like a lady. Because if he really cared about that girl, he would. Whatever, we don't need to get into that.
No, but Lindsay, but seriously, if you and I were dating and you said, "Hey, I want to come to the bubble," and I said, "Look, I'm focused on
basketball." No. This was before they went to the bubble. They broke up back in like
He wouldn't get tickets to regular games.
Regular season games.
Yeah, regular games.
That's focus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No,
you could call
regular
it focus,
season
or
games.
You could call it just being a jerk.
No, so I call it focus. Let's go. Let's go.
You would.
Eyes priorities. On the prize. Right.
Yep. Priorities.
Love that.
Yep.
A school teacher whose body, face, and tongue are covered in tattoos and who has had the whites of his eyes surgically turned black said that he was prevented from teaching at a French kindergarten after a parent complained that he scared their child. Now, it's worth noting that the scared child wasn't even in the tattooed teacher's class. Eventually, an agreement was reached to move him away from teaching kindergarten and only teach kids ages 6 and older. Apparently, the school thought that students under 6 could be frightened by his appearance. Were the parents in the wrong for complaining about this tattooed teacher? Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, swipe left. They were. Or what, if I think it's okay to complain, am I swiping left or swiping right?
Yes, you're swiping left.
Okay, swipe left. Yeah, if you can have as many tattoos as you want, but if you're scaring the little kids, that's the consequence. I have zero problem with this.
I got to say, I was scared by just the description of the guy. I can't imagine what he looks like, and I wouldn't want him teaching my kids. So I've got absolutely no problem with him being booted.
Man, I think that's crazy because if there was only one parent who the kid's not even in their class complaining, obviously no one else had a problem with it.
Wait a minute, Lindsay, you know, how old's your nephew?
He's 9.
Okay,
I have another nephew who's 3.
Okay, so if the 3-year-old came back and he was noticeably scared, all right, you would understand that, right? That Mason's right. The description you gave had me creeped out. I mean,
I don't know. I think I would tell him, you know what? Everybody looks different, and you just got to accept people the way that they are because we love you the way that you are.
Yeah, but we love you the way that you are, but you're not a good role model for our children.
Yeah, we love you the way you are until you scare the crap out of my kid.
But how is having a lot of tattoos being a bad role model? I don't
understand. Are you defending Tattoo Face?
Yes.
Lindsay, he put black in his eyes.
So what?
You don't think that's distracting to a kid? His eyeballs are all black?
Sure, it might be distracting, but apparently not enough to where anyone else had a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't think the guy should be teaching. I'll be honest. I don't think he should be teaching.
Right, yeah. I'm disappointed in you guys today.
No, I'm okay. No, Lindsay, I don't mind that he's teaching. I would not have fired him, but I think the rule you laid out that he's only going to teach kids older than 6 is fine. That's a good rule.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good rule. I just think there's something mentally ill about doing that to your face.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Tell that to Mike Tyson.
I don't think that.
Well, okay.
And I think it's just the tattoos are just a different way to express yourself, just like clothing and hairstyles and, you know, anything else.
But tattoos
more permanent.
Are forever.
So what? If they want a forever you know, dress a certain way and forever wear the hair a certain way, you wouldn't have a problem with it, would you?
Nope. But if you tattoo your eyes black, I do have a problem with it.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree.
Okay, good.
Last one here. In the bid to find a COVID-19 vaccine, wildlife experts claim that 500,000 sharks could be slaughtered. Squalene, a natural oil made in the liver of sharks, is used in medicine and to increase the effectiveness of a vaccine, including the coronavirus trial vaccines.
Mm.
Shark Allies, a group that fights to reduce overfishing of sharks, says that most shark species would become extinct due to the demand needed to produce a global vaccine.
Wow.
Yes, and the group suggests using non-animal alternatives that offer equally effective squalene, such as yeast, bacteria, sugarcane, and olive oil. Would you be okay with sharks becoming extinct in exchange for a more, quote, convenient ingredient in a coronavirus vaccine?
So it's basically save the sharks or save ourselves.
No, because like I said, there's equally effective forms of squalene that can be found in yeast, bacteria, sugarcane, and olive oil. It's apparently a little bit more convenient, and it takes, you know, it's less ingredients overall that they need to put into the vaccine if they use the thing from the shark.
All right, let me make this perfectly clear. I want the vaccine now. I want it yesterday. 2020 is brutal. Whatever gets the vaccine here now and the quickest and gets us back to normal life, if we've got to kill the sharks to do it, sorry, sharks, let's go. Get the vaccine as soon as possible. No questions asked. Done. I'm sorry. I feel very bad for the sharks. This may be, Mace, the end of Shark Week, which is one of the great weeks of all time. But there you go.
I agree with John. I think more than anything right now, we need that friggin' vaccine. And so if some sharks need to die for people to be safe, I still rank people above sharks.
But again, there's not an either or there. It's just a matter of people's convenience.
Well, it's not convenient. It's time, isn't it?
No, they don't even say it's not even a time.
Oh, well, I mean, if this can all be done without sharks, I would say don't
use
sharks.
Yes, it can be done. It can be done without sharks. It's just a matter of people and their convenience and the access to ingredients, whatever. I guess
the better question
isn't even a factor.
Hey. The better question, Lindsay, was sharks or vaccine? That was a good question.
But that's not
it's
the
interesting.
Question.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know.
Lindsay, somebody just sent us a picture of this guy with the tattoos and the eyeballs. I mean, come on. There's no way you can be. This guy can't teach kindergarten. Mace, you see the picture? The one from.
Oh, my God.
Josh Santa Maria. Thank you,
no
Josh.
No way. That guy cannot teach kindergarten. He's like a swamp creature. Lindsay, you cannot possibly want this kid to be teaching your nephew.
I would hate to see what you look like on a bad day.
Not
man.
Like that.
Well, Mason on his worst
talk
day.
Talk about judgy.
Judgy? Like wait a minute. Look at this. Judgy.
She's right. We are being judgy.
He has tattoos, so what? One kid was scared of it. Who cares?
I'm terrified by it. I'm terrified that guy actually is teaching
then
school.
Baby. Then you're a baby.
Well, that's true, but still, the guy is a little bit scary.
I'll put out a poll on that. That's interesting. Would you want this guy teaching your kids? All right.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Keyshawn Johnson is going to be with us. We will review the week in the NFL, including a terrible call in the Rams-Bills game that deprived the Rams from one of the great comeback victories in NFL history. Keyshawn is next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.